let's say we take a little bit of a break from the regular Bas B'Cholah order of things that we're doing, but we'll still give you Shabbat Bas B'Cholah. We'll try to tie it in a little bit of Chanukah as well. So we'll talk about the following Shaila, believe it or not, actually raised both in Hukkos Bas B'Cholah as well as in Hukkos Chanukah. Shaila is the following. Real Shaila is Shaila Ephraim talks about. If a person has oil, he wants to use the oil for his Chanukah, so we know usually the Gemara tells them on Shabbos that there are very few limitations on what type of oil can be used in his Chanukah. Even certain limitations that apply to the Shabbos don't really apply to the Chanukah, so just about all oils and waxes and candles are permissible. Nevertheless, Shaila Ephraim raised the following question. What if the oil that you have happens to be, believe it or not, Bas B'Cholah oil? It's oil that is also B'Hanah Mishum Bas B'Cholah. How in the world does he get Bas B'Cholah oil? So Shaila Ephraim gives you a case. The guy took butter, and he cooks some butter in a fleshy pot, and he's got now pleas. He's got tastes of meat and the butter, and now he's all melted down. He wants to use his butter. Yeah, I never tried to use regular butter for lighting Chanukah, but I guess, and to check for the cholesterol, right? I imagine it's probably will burn. So the person has a trace of butter, he's got Bas B'Cholah butter, and he wants to know, can he use that? Lech L'maisa for Neres Chanukah. That's the Shaila that the Shaila Ephraim raises. So that Shaila, believe it or not, has many ramifications, both in terms of Bas B'Cholah, as well as in Kol Torah Kula, interesting application of this Shaila. Let's see if we can analyze what the halacha should be in such a somewhat bizarre case. It's going to open up for us a lot of interesting Shailas of myself. So one question that those who discuss when dealing with this issue is, let's take the worst case scenario. Let's assume that this is really Bas B'Cholah. Okay, so it's Bas B'Cholah, so now what? So we know there are three things that you're not allowed to do with Bas B'Cholah. You're not allowed to eat Bas B'Cholah. You're not allowed to cook Bas B'Cholah. You're not allowed to derive benefits, to derive hanah from Bas B'Cholah. So which one of these three is this a potential problem? It's obviously you're not eating it. Presumably, we'll see in a moment, you're not cooking it. But what you may be doing is, you may be nana from it. You seem to be benefiting from it. The question is that called being nana or not? This opens up for us a fundamental question. Is the performance of a mitzvah considered to be a hanah or not? So this is what we're talking about. In general, a person has a mitzvah to do, and it involves using a certain cheft, using a certain object, and for whatever technical reason, he's not permitted to get hanah, he's not permitted by the Torah to get hanah from that particular object. His performance in a mitzvah using an object of also hanah, is that called hanah or not? So that's a sugya in Masechus Rosh Hashanah Daf Kuches, a sugya that's called mitzvah slav lehonas nitnu. The Gemara tells us, the child, the choy spring of we pass him out, huh? Now, if you have a cheft to show mitzvah, for example, a shofar, and the shofar happens to be also hanah, why is the shofar also hanah? The guy took a neder, he's not going to derive any benefit from a shofar. We might discuss the issues of a shofar that maybe have a nizar, whatever the details of the case are. If you have a shofar that's also banah, we pass, and you're permitted to use such a shofar for the mitzvah to a shofar. You're quote-unquote benefiting it from it, you're using it. So comes the Gemara and says, no, that's not considered to be benefiting. That's called mitzvah slav yohanasim. Rashi says, the kiyama mitzvah is not a hanah. You make it a geschmack from doing a mitzvah. We want people to enjoy the mitzvahs, but afi halacha, mitzvahs are not the Torah's hanah. It's not like I'm eating something, it's not like I'm deriving a benefit from something. Just the kima mitzvah of something doesn't qualify as hanah.
Sure, we say,
does that mean that you do not have hanah? Or the
Anah
that you have is not the
Anah that's considered. It's not halachic Hanah, right? It's not called halachic Hanah, right? Very good. It's not called halachic Hanah. So we'll talk about it in a moment about other Hanahs that may be involved in Chanukah. So at first glance, it seems to be the same. This is it. Now you remember from last year, we spoke about this a little bit. There's a Gemara in Gitta and Bakhaf, where the Gemara says that get your kasal, you should have Kasha. If you write a get on a piece of paper or something that's also banah, so the get is still going to be kosher. So the Achron and Pilpul, is that because of mitzvah from the Maybe it was a get, a mitzvah, not a mitzvah, it was a get and sugi from last year. The end of that story, the simple pshat of the halacha should be is that it should be permissible because mitzvah from the Hadith they do. Nevertheless, there is a powerful obstacle to this skula of invoking mitzvah from the Hadith they do, and that's the chiddush of the Balamor. The Balamor, Masechus Rosh Hashanah tells us, that the mad divine mamurim, when do we apply the rule of mitzvahs, that's when we're dealing with the mitzvah midaraisa, like a mitzvah like tekiya shofar, that's the example that the Gemara gives. We have a mitzvah midaraisa like tekiya shofar, so then mitzvah stop the hadas nidnu. It says the Balamor, if you have a mitzvah derabanan, and the Balamor gives you an example of mitzvah derabanan, so a person wants to blow shofar on a tiny tibur, that's the whole question whether he should or shouldn't, whether it applies to his Zanazah. But at least at one time in history, there was a mitzvah blowing to a shofar on a tiny tzibur, That was only a mitzvah in the Rabban, it wasn't a mitzvah in the Torah. So says the Balamor, if you're blowing only to fulfill a mitzvah in the Rabban, then not so fast, not so simple, then the mitzvah is considered to be a hana, and one would be prohibited to do it with a chetzah that's also hana. So according to the Balamor, it's the father's Balamor, yeah, but according to the Balamor, we would have potential problems when it comes to Neres Chanukah, because Neres Chanukah obviously is on a mitzvah upon it. So if you use a shofar of Dover Asav HaNa'ah, that's okay, shofar is Diraisa. But to use a shofar for Titus Tzibur is on a Dirabana and it becomes a problem, so what did not you can extrapolate from the Balamoah's shofar for Titus Tzibur to the butter and the meat, the Bas B'chol of oil for Neres Chanukah. So the Chol is, our Shaila is now dependent on, is the Balamoah correct or not? The Chol of the Balamoah is very, very difficult to understand. All the Achmarim jump in the Balamoah and say, it doesn't make any sense. What's the difference? If the reason why mitzvahs of Yohanes did the l'chora is because that's like what hanah means physical enjoyment, hanah means something out of the realm of religious experience. The fact that I'm doing the mitzvah, as Rashi says, mitzvahs were given, mitzvahs were given, in a negative sense, mitzvahs were given to do it around to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not to chop around hanah if you enjoy it on the side. Okay, that's your issue. But at the end of the day, it's not called a ma'isa hanah. When I'm doing a mitzvah, that's not my primary intention. It's not to get hanah from the mitzvah. So that's not called hanah in halacha. So ask the Beis Halevi, what's the difference? The Reis and the Rabbanon. The Reis and the Rabbanon is a lamdash achilach, a lamdash difference. Means it's the nature of the mitzvah, mitzvah, not there is a nature of the mitzvah, mitzvah, the Rabbanon, something the Reis, the Chumr, something the Rabbanon, in terms of Hanah, it's the same lack of Hanah when you do the mitzvah the Reis and you do the mitzvah the Rabbanon. So Mashna, what's the child in the Balamor? So come a group of Acharonim and say, but the Balamor must mean is as follows, because it's so difficult to understand and you have to revamp and figure out what exactly Balamor is talking about. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Adav Kaf Ches, in the sugya of mitzvah starting on Sinu, where the Gemara discusses as follows. What would that halacha be if a person does the mitzvah, and true, he's not exactly deriving hanah from the mitzvah itself, but there are other tangential hanahs that the person is receiving, which called hanah saguf. So most mitzvahs are like, well, I get up in the morning, I put on tefillin. Okay, so I did the mitzvah, finished. But I enjoy it, I don't enjoy it. But there's no hanah saguf, I don't feel physically better about it. Person shake the lulav. There's no hanah saguf, but there are certain mitzvahs that do carry with them hanah saguf. So the example actually that the Gemara discusses is a person goes to the mikvah. Now, is going to the mikvah give you hanah saguf? Well, it depends. If it's freezing cold outside, it's freezing cold for the mikvah, and you jump in and you jump out, there's no negative hanah saguf. But imagine it's a good hot day. Guy's having tzfat. A good hot day in the middle of the summer. And he passes by the Ari's mikvah. He goes in for a nice dip, comes out, gets nice refreshed, gets nice cooled off. So not only did he do the quoting for mitzvah, assuming that he really had to go to tummy or whatever, now did he do the mitzvah, but he felt good about himself also, geschmack also. So comes the Gemara and raises the question, can we apply the rule of mitzvah slavic hanasdenu under those circumstances? So the machlekes have shown how to reap shot in the Gemara. What's the Gemara actually said to this problem? The machlekes is the Rad and the Rashba. So the Rad in Rosh Hashanah and Maseches Nedarim, the Arichos explains, mitzvah slavic hanasdenu only applies to the hanas ha-mitzvah proper. I mean, the fact that you became tohor, that's not considered to be a hanah. So if you go to the mikvah in the middle of, I don't know, a morning like 20 degrees outside now, you go to the Ari's mikvah, you're not going to get too much hanah saguf if you survive your ordeal. But you'll become tohor. Becoming tohor is not hanah. That's mitzvah slavic hanasdenu, and that doesn't count in the world of hanah. But Zakhtaran in Rosh Hashanah and in Nidarim, if a person goes to the mikvah, to the nice refreshing mikvah in the middle of July, and he feels good about it, that's called the Hanah Saguf. Not only is it Hanah Smith, it's Hanah Saguf. Hanah Saguf is a problem, so you're not allowed to go to the mikvah. So if a person took a neder not to get Hanah from this mikvah, he cannot use it in the middle of the summertime. That's the Ran's Chiddush based on his reading of the Gemara. And the Rashba in Maseches Nedarim seems to disagree with this. The Rashba is a whole different Shad and Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Chesed, not for our purposes right now. But the Rashba seems to understand that not only is Hanos Mitzvah covered by Mitzvah Slav and Hamas Nenu, Hanos Aguf is covered as well. Machlokes the Rashba. So come back around and say, the Baal HaMor must be referring to this type of scenario. If you're referring to just simple, plain Hanos Mitzvah, but the shah of the rice of the abundance, who cares if the rice of the abundance, it's all the same. If the rice is mutter, the abundance mutter, the abundance mutter, the rice, everything is mutter, it's hanos mitzvah finished. But If you're talking about a fulfillment of a mitzvah which carries with it two dimensions, it carries with it a hanos mitzvah and a hanos aguf, so then maybe one could argue there's a distinction between a mitzvah deraita and a mitzvah derabbana for the following reason. The Chayyim Rashi is very hard to understand. How can it be? How can we let a person jump into the mikvah in the middle of the summertime? He's mamish feeling better. He's geschmack. He feels so much better. He just violated mitzvah deraita. Well, yeah, hold the vote. He took a neder not to be nehneh from the mikvah. Lemais is being nehneh from the mikvah. So hanos mitzvah tomorrow. But there's hanos. How can you close your eyes to hanos aguf? So, what's the beer according to the Rashba? So you have to say that according to the Rashba, api halacha, we declare your maisa as a maisa ha-mitzvah. The primary purpose of your action is to do the mitzvah. And all hanos aguf become, in a sense, bottle, become like tofel to your maisa. So the Torah says, I'm not allowed to do a maisa hanah. I'm not allowed to derive benefit. I'm not allowed to do an action that derives benefit from this mitzvah. So what is my action? So what is my action? So the Rana understood, what is my action? I have two actions. The dual action, dual result. I did a mitzvah, and I went swimming. So the Ran says we can differentiate between the two and say that yes, the going to the mitzvah is not a problem. That's not called hanah. But to go in swimming, cooling off, refreshing yourself in the middle of July is a maisa, and that's something that you have to reckon with. That's something that's a problem. So the Ran says we split up what you did. The mitzvah part is mutter, but the hanah is a good part. According to the Rashba, no. According to the Rashba, it's a brisker. According to the Rashba, it's not too different. It's not too different. One did, one ma'isa tevila. I did one action. So we have to now ask ourselves, api halacha, how do we label this ma'isa? So comes the Balamor and says, when you have a mitzvah deraisa, so the mitzvah deraisa is clearly the mitzvah deraisa swallows up everything else. The mitzvah deraisa is labels this action. It's a ma'isa mitzvah on a level of deraisa. If it's a ma'isa mitzvah deraisa, we totally ignore, we negate all other notagos. You refreshed yourself. You feel better with the Milzot. It doesn't matter. Apidin, the Ikra Maisa is the Mitzvah Deraisa. But that's only true that a Nasa Guf can become Bokdel to a Maisa Mitzvah. That's if the Maisa Mitzvah is Midaraisa. If the Maisa Mitzvah is only a Mitzvah Derabanan, means on the Torah level, if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm doing two things. I'm doing a mitzvah, and I'm going swimming. Moshe says, what mitzvah? Who mitzvah? Check, 613 mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah. There's nothing in the Torah. So, you're not doing anything. You're not doing any ma'aseh mitzvah. So, according to the definitions thereof, the Torah definitions of what you're doing, you're doing one thing. You're going swimming. You know how to do that. You're not allowed to go swimming in a mitzvah that you said is also by not to you, because that's called a ma'aseh guf. So, according to this beer, the Dasa Balamor, the Balamor is not telling us that mitzvah is lovely, hummus in it new. Doesn't apply to mitzvahs derabanan. That doesn't make sense. Well, why not? What the Balamor is telling us is, if this chiddush of mitzvahs, the chiddush of the Rashba, the cool of the Rashba, Noas Aguf becomes botel, Noas Mitzvah, that's only true of mitzvahs deraisa, it's not true of mitzvahs derabanan. So that's the case. Going back to the Neves Chanukah, a guy lights Neves Chanukah with the oil of Bos Becholov. So what potential hanos are taking place here? Is there any hanas aguf at all to speak of? Forget, this guy is never going to use this oil for hanas. He's not going to read by the oil. He's not going to heat himself up by the oil in the menorah. He's not going to do that. And there's a lot of kedushin. The ain't one of the shalosh b'hem. Eloah, what only possible hanah is there? The fact that he's lighting the neiros. The fact that he's doing the mitzvah. A mitzvah? I don't care what the mitzvah is. But it's deraisa, derabanan. Four words, mitzvah slav v'honestin. Finish, end of discussion. So, l'chora, mitam mitzvah slav v'honestin, no, we could be matir to light these candles, and we don't have to be concerned with hanah. It's only a derabanan, the Balamor, that's not what the Balamor meant. The Balamor must have meant the revamped Balamor's version. He couldn't have possibly meant that hanah's mitzvah is a problem, even by a mitzvah derabanan, because l'chora, it doesn't make any sense. So that's the least of the obstacles involved in using this bas b'chol of oil. But we have another problem, which Shari Ephraim raises as well. Forget about whether you're in violation of Hanana, can you be yaitzed in mitzvah with the boss of Bechol of oil? Why not? What's the problem? The boss of Bechol of oil is also Banah. Whenever you have something that's also Banah, there's a potential issue that's called Kisusei Mechtas Shiure. Kisusei Mechtas Shiure means when you have a cheft of a mitzvah, you want to use the cheft of a mitzvah to perform a mitzvah. And there's a certain shear, a certain minimum requirement, a certain volume, a certain size that this particular cheftah shemitzvah has to have. And this particular cheftah is off limits. The particular chepsa is supposed to be destroyed. It's supposed to be burned or perhaps or in the garbage. It's supposed to do something with this chepsa. You're not supposed to use it. You're supposed to destroy it. You're supposed to remove it. Can we say that the shear is present or not? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the same sugya of Chet, has the following question. The Gemara says, let's say you have a shofar, not a shofar that you personally took a neder from. You know, if you took a neder from a shofar, you don't have to destroy that shofar. Just don't use it. But what if you have a shofar shel avodah zarah? A shofar that's so usher that there's a mitzvah the Torah of as a lamp to support by Eish. It's supposed to burn the Avodah Zarah. It's supposed to destroy the Avodah Zarah. But before I destroy the Avodah Zarah, let me just quickly use it to blow shofar with. So the Gemara raises the question, wait a second, how can you do that? How can you be yaitzei the mitzvah with a shofar shel Avodah Zarah? The shofar shel Avodah Zarah doesn't have a shear to it. There's a shear of a shofar. Shofar has to be a certain minimum size. So the shofar has to be a certain minimum size. Something that's burnt, it's like kol omei b'sof yisorav done. It's not here anymore. It's as if it's broken into little pieces. It's already as if it was burnt. If it's already burnt, then the shear chaser in the shear. The Gemara says in the third part of Sukkah, if a person has an esrog that comes from an ir nidachas or something, it comes from a tree from an ir nidachas, and everything in the ir nidachas is supposed to be destroyed. So the Gemara says you can't be done to the shelf with that esrog. Why not? Because it's kesusim echdashiurei. The Torah says that esrog has a certain shear, a shiloh, like a nut, like a bait, whatever the shear is, there's a certain minimum shear that an esrog has to have, and if it's lacking that shear, then it's possible in the Torah. So comes the Gemara and says, somebody that's already, one foot into the fire, somebody that's already about to be thrown into the oven to be destroyed, how can you tell me that the shear is there? Kesuse mechta shiure. So in fact, in Gittin and Achof, in that same Gemara, the Mishnah of the Ran raises the question, how can you write a get on a Dover Osir Manah, typically that you have to burn it, excuse me, after shear, right? So the Ran says, no, that's different, because a get doesn't have a shear to it. There's no minimum size of a get. You can write a get. If you can write a get on a piece of paper this big, you can fit in all the words, you can do it. There's no halachic shear. Maybe not practical, but in terms of halacha, there's no halachic shear to a get. So therefore, excuse me, after shear doesn't apply. But a lulav, an esrog, and a shofar, which have a halachic shear to it, that would be a problem to the nefesh.
Why don't we separate chepsa and gavra? Those things that are gavra and those things that are chepsa aren't chepsa. Because all the things that we're talking about chepsa, they don't seem to be.
So you saw about nevesharik. So now it becomes a tricky question. So this yisod of chesu nefesh, the shafram didn't make up. That we know from Rosh Hashanah of ches. We know this from Sukkot. Hey, that's the cloud global now. Chesu nefesh. But the chiddush of the shafram is. Is that relevant in terms of Neres Chanukah? What's the shear of Neres Chanukah? How much Neres Chanukah, how much oil do you need? So the answer is there is a shear of Neres Chanukah. So in Shabbos, I'm going to follow for days. And you have to put it enough oil into the menorah that it should burn, that it should last. I should tichle regam and ashuk. That it should last for a certain amount of time until people are still walking in the streets. How much is that? So the Rambam says it's kichati shah. The Rambam says it's approximately half an hour's worth of oil, half an hour's size candles. We have to put it in Shabbos, it's a little bigger one because it's supposed to burn a half hour after the Zman Hadlacha begins. It's the Shiloh, that is, Shkia says. So we put in a little bit of extra on Friday night. But the Shia is Kichati Shah, approximately a half hour's worth of oil, a half hour's worth of size candle. That's considered to be the Shia for Neres Chanukah. If a person didn't put in that amount, he's not going to eat to the mitzvah. Let's say a person put in a little, half a cup of oil. It was enough to burn for 10 minutes. And then he realizes later he wants to add in more oil. That's a problem. Because we passed that lacha is a mitzvah. You have to have the shear of oil has to be present at the time you're actually doing the lighting itself. So comes the Shear Ephraim and says, wait a second.
If you had originally enough
and then you lit it and then it wasn't your fault, somebody knocked it over or something, so then you yet you don't have to relight it, mikvah did. But if you didn't have enough at the time of the hadlacha, and then you realize later you want to add in more, that's no good. You have to blow it out, add in more, and then relight it again. So comes the Shear Ephraim. It's a shiloh. Maybe even with a bracha, but that would be a shiloh. It's a shiloh, but not the shiur. But she took a matter of a shuk was done as that. We do without a bracha.
What about the fact that it's not covered? Using merig lion for
your Yeah. We're not advocating this tachachinah. We want to know top of the guy. Yes, you're listening.
Would we be concerned with a problem as follows? That I'm using this bus of the hull of oil. So for me, we've just said. There's no hanok. I'm lighting my chanukah. What's about someone who walks by my house and sees this wonderful menorah with lit? I would be doing a lifnei there. That's for him. That's a hanok. It's a wonderful.
He's not supposed to be getting enough of it.
Why? Somebody from the outside. When I drive down the street and I see
all these menorahs lit. I think it's a wonderful thing. I get a lot of hanah.
That's a lot of kosher. Ain't a lot of rishus lishonim. That's the
menorah. Whoever lit.
No. It's not anybody. Yeah. If I light a menorah, you can't come and read that online. No one's allowed to use it. So is this applicable or not? Does this idea of Kesusa Mefreshira make any sense when it comes to the neighbors from the menorah? So the Chora, one that could raise the following question. This shear of, you have to put it in enough oil that it burns, that burns for half hour. So one thing raises the question, what kind of a shear is that? What kind of a halakhic shear is that? So is that the same as the size of an esrog? Is that the same as the size of a shofar? Is that the same as the size of a lulav? So the Chora, one can draw the following distinction. There are two different types of shiurim in halacha. There are some shiurim that don't correspond to anything in Metzias. There's no reason in a sense for this particular shiur. It's not a Metzias oriented, it's not a practical oriented shiur. Chachemer halacha l'moshe Metzias, that's a shiur. It's an emotional. First, that's either kezias of matz on Pesach night. So that makes it, I mean, otherwise it doesn't make sense. It doesn't correspond to anything. There's a reason for that. There is the same Rebbe Shlomo could have said you have to eat a kezias, could have said you have to eat a kebetz also. Or it's a marshal, there's a shear of da'al amas, there's a shear of ten tevachim, there's a shear, a lot of shear in the Torah. So the Gemara says that shear of halacha moshe Sinai. So they're mostly halacha, they have to be halacha moshe, they don't make any quote unquote sense, they don't correspond to anything in Olam Hazeh. Chach memra halacha, that's the Rebbe Shlomo decided. Go ask the Tasha Rebbe Shlomo, why get a shear of kezias, not a kezias and a half. But there are other shearim that make a lot of sense, and they're not really halakhic shiurim. They're very much mitzvah shiurim. They're a reflection of a physical reality on the ground. But they're emotional this year. The chomer misaken, you require a half hour of oil. Why is that? Did they flip the coin and put the number half hour? No. The idea of a half hour worth of oil is supposed to be the amount of time that people are walking in the street. Asher tichel regel menashuk. So the days of the Gemara talk about that. But the reality that people walked in the street about a half hour after dark, which made a lot of sense because, you know, right when it gets dark, it's not pitch black right away. It takes a little bit of time, so it's totally pitch black. So in the old days, there were no street lights. So no one's going to be walking the streets until 11 o'clock at night. But it, you know, she is 4:30. It's at 5:10. 5:30, people are still walking around because it's still a little bit light outside. So, it's interesting. I think the rule is, I remember from my driver's ed days, if I'm not mistaken, I think the rule is, technically speaking, they can't pull you over for a ticket for not having your headlights on. I think it's only a half hour after shkia. I think that's the official law of love. You may bump into somebody in the process, but I think that's the rule. You have a half hour after shkia. That's what the Rambam says. I got it from the Rambam of Chanukah. That for the first half hour after shkia, it's still a little bit light outside. People still walk around. But after half hour, it's not a dark. You have to put your headlights on. After half hour, so it's too late to light their Chanukah. That's why Medina the Gemara, you have to light the menorah within the first half hour after this man, or else there's nobody there. Who are you lighting for? So we're not so makbar about this man as that for two reasons. Number one, people walk around much later this man as that, so we have tikkun regel mashuk till all hours of the night. And number two, there are more quotes in the Balei Tosfos that shear of the half hour really only makes it sense if you're lighting outdoors, like in the days of the Gemara. You're lighting indoors anyway, so you have lokas geared towards the Bnei Abayah, so it's 11 o'clock at night. But if your whole family's in the living room, so that's called, that's still Asher Tichel Regel Menashuk. So we're not so careful to light that magic half hour, but in the olden days, the original Tekana was, you have to light Mamash within that half hour, and therefore the Chomer Misachin, you have to have a half hour of oil. That's why, in fact, there was some Rishon who said, let's say, for argument's sake, this man had lost to start at 4:30. So Asher Tichel Regel Menashuk was 5 o'clock. So somebody showed him said, if you light it at 4:45, you don't have to put in a half hour worth of oil. You can put in 15 minutes worth of oil. That's good enough. So our meaning is that we follow other Rishonim. We say, no, that was a low plug. That comes from, no matter what time you light, you have to put in a half hour. But somebody showed him, took this halacha to the logical conclusion, that there's no halacha of the half hour. The halacha is, you got to have it going. So that's the correct position.
And it depends on the temperature and other
cocktails. Right. So came along, Chora, some Rishonim, at least, probably all Rishonim would agree, that this year is not rooted in some technical, you know, halacha moshe mesinai, something, some arbitrary shear that the chum pick, but this is a mitzias-oriented shear, which is supposed to correspond to the reality on the ground. This is when people are walking. So one could argue, halacha susen mechta shear. Susen mechta shear makes sense when you have a halachic shear. There's an objective shear. It has to be up din kezayis. So since the whole nature of the shear has got to be up din kezayis, it's got to be api din, the rule is got to be four tefachim, api fit, it's got to be four tefachim. So if api din, if susim ech the shiur, it's a shiur, so you don't have a shiur there. But if the whole purpose of the shiur is just to reflect a reality on the ground, I want people to see the menorah, so people see the menorah whether it's apidit. People are such flamzanim. I can't see the menorah. It's bas b'chol of oil. So apid Allah, I'm not looking at it because it's too messages. It's a joke. It means that how about people should be such, you know, such like they said a rabbi sheva. The rabbi sheva would walk by a tree. So Masechus oil would flash up. He would, in his eyes. He would walk by a pole. Oh, all Masechus Erevin he would chaz. He saw the whole world through the halachic glasses. Most people aren't as zeicher to that. So a person sees the oil burning, so he sees the oil burning. So in your day, as soon as he's eye, it happens to be the most mechol oil. So what? He's still seeing the oil burning. So you've accomplished what the shiur is supposed to accomplish. The whole point of the shiur is not a halachic shiur, it's a mitzvah shiur. So how can you apply the roof? Because you're not the shiur. If lemaisa, you're accomplishing exactly what the shiur is supposed to accomplish.
But then you run into a problem with the lulav.
So many acharonim come up with this chiddush. That ksusim et shiur only applies to certain types of shiur, not to other kinds of shiur. So we have to test case by case and see where does ksusim et shiur appear in the Gemara, and are those examples of halachic shiur or matiyah shiur? So the lulav is not so bad. The lulav is halachic shiur. The shiur of a lulav is a real din. That's a pashas halacha mashal m'sinai. The Gemara said that hadas and a rub is a free tefach, and lulav is another tefach. The shiur of an esrog gets pashas. Also, a halachic shiur doesn't really count. Pashas doesn't correspond to anything. It's a question whether what I'm saying is true about an esrog. We'll put that on hold for a moment. Check the lulav on Gozel Shiurim. But there is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we mentioned about shofar. And shofar, the Gemara, does apply to the Mephah Shire. And one could raise the question, what's the nature of the shir of the shofar? Is that a halachic shir or is that a metziah shir? If it's a metziah shir, and the Gemara still applies to the Mephah Shire to it, then our whole Shemot Torah is wrong. So that seems to be the Chagas of Yishanah. The Rosh of Rosh Hashanah writes, what type is the shir of the shofar? So the Gemara says, the shir is probably big enough that you can put it in your hand, and it can come out... It came out both ends. You could see the shelf. It's every bigger than the fact in the tefach. So where did that shear come from? So you go to Vyas Nehru and said, so Allahu Mashiach said, that's the Kashal of Maisa. Where does the shear come from? So the Russian Rosh Hashanah writes, no. You know where the shear of the shofar came from? You know why it has to be big enough to fit into your hands and come out on both ends? Because otherwise people are going to think you're blowing into your hands. People are thinking, you're making noises. So it's like a Marzayan. It's like a Dura Bonin to the shear. That people may make a mistake and may think you're not really blowing the shofar. According to the Rosh, the whole shear of shofar, they're above it, I'm not beside you. That's in the Chometziah's building, that's from the Chometziah shear. So if a guy's got a shofar, shalav in his aura, and he's blowing it, and everybody realizes he's not blowing to his hands, nope, the Gemara says it's still no good. You're not yet to the mitzvah, because Yesu say mech the shearin, because the shear isn't met. So what do you see from that Rosh's pshat and Rosh Hashanah? That even though the shear is only a Chometziah shear, it's not a halachic shear, that's still potentially subject to Ksusi Mephashire. That spells trouble for us in Neiris Chanukah. So if that's true, then the corollary of that is, I want to use Neiris Chanukah, a bus b'chol of oil. So what's the problem? It's just a Metziah shear, so everybody sees the candles. Might have to mean whether it's halachically sedir or not. It's not the kosher. Just as in Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh had problems with the shofar of Ksusi Mephashire, even though it's only a Metziah shear, maybe the same is true when it comes to Neiris Chanukah. And if one of you said Rosh, if you disagree with the Rosh and Rosh Hashanah, then you have no riot to passel the oil in Neiris Chanukah. So, Kopanim, we have two very real issues involved in using this oil for Neiris Chanukah. One is the issue of, is there a problem of Hanor itself? So, Mitzvah Tavon Hanasin, with their ice, with their Abonin, Osakuf, that was the first half of the Shir. Then the second half of the Shir is, forget about Hanor, is that considered to be a shear? Is that considered to be a shear of oil? What's the nature of the shear of oil? Do we carry over because of shear? That's a whole different topic. So we fulfilled two-thirds of what we wanted to accomplish today. So one last part of the shear we left to save against for next week, and that's the more of the Bas Mechol angle. Namely, maybe it's also to use this oil of Bas Mechol for a totally different reason. Not because of the Hanor, not because of the shear. It's an issue of Bishul Bas Mechol. When I take my match and I light up my oil sitting inside my menorah, I am cooking Bas Mechol. Now usually we think of cooking in a pot in a stove. Well, it's a very little stove, a very little pot. A fire, a little bit of a tree, holding Bas Mechol oil. So what's the Bas Mechol? Is that a problem? Is that not a problem? That goes to what we're going to
discuss those
times. Bas Mechol, so we got a lot of salt. Next week we'll take the second half of the book.
Next week we meet 5 minutes earlier because the...
Yes, what's up? What's up? What's up?
But Wednesday, Tuesday and Wednesday is
Wednesday,
we're talking about Basra B'Challah.
Right.